Hello, welcome to Unpopular Opinions Free Preview Week. For the next 5 days, we'll be posting complete episodes of all the shows from our expanded lineup. If you like them and want to keep them in your life, sign up for our subscription service at connectpal.com/unpopular opinion. Also, be sure to check us out on tour this week. We're in Chicago Thursday at North Bar, Iowa City Friday at Iowa City Yacht Club, Omaha Saturday at Backline Comedy Theater, Kansas City Sunday at Tapcade, and Denver Monday at Voodoo Comedy. We can't wait to see you there. For tickets, head to unpops.com/tour. Thanks. Now enjoy the least anticipated podcast of the week with me and Tom Ryman.
这是一周中最值得期待的播客。
Now we're recording because the clock has started.
Solid.
So you know.
So
it's not like we started once.
No, not at all.
I am so thankful that that 11 minutes wasn't recorded because I inadvertently said so many racist things.
We could have ended Chet Wilde's career with
I think it was inadvertently.
Get rid of all these notes I had prepared that blew up in my face.
No, it was good. It was real. You were good, Chet.
You're just trying to get me to say awful things again.
Tell us about your parking experience.
Yeah.
Oh, long story short, the Bills won 16-0 today. They shut out New England. Then I was late because the guy downstairs that I asked for directions from how to get to the studio here kept pointing. He's like, go down straight, take a left, go right, go up. But he was pointing with a finger, which was half cut off. It didn't have the top two parts of the index finger.
He's like a Yakuza member.
And he had nine other fully functional fingers. And he was only giving directions with the one finger that didn't have the parts that actually point remaining.
I wish we could have that guy on the podcast so he could tell us the story of how he only gives directions with his fucked up finger to mess with people.
I mean, he was saying the words, but obviously you're not listening to anybody that's pointing at you in the face with a fucking nub.
Yeah, all you can do is stare at that circus finger.
But you found it.
I found it.
Yeah.
You did. You found the lobby.
I like this place very much.
Thank you.
There's a big mirror so we can stare at ourselves podcasting. There's a little outlook over the pool. You can see some ladies down there.
Yeah, there's a carpeted balcony that you can just leer down creepily at people.
It's called a solarium, gentlemen. Solarium.
Nice view of the pool. Nice view of the sky. Nice view of downtown.
You should see it
at night. It's beautiful. All the bank institutions that I owe money to light up and give me a really good view of who I'll be enslaved to for the rest of my life.
Yeah. So this is the least anticipated podcast of the week.
Yeah.
We started this already talking for about 10 minutes, and then none of it recorded.
Yep. What? I don't remember that.
But
that's what happens when Brett's not here.
Yeah.
We likely saved Chet's career.
This is almost all no Brett week at Unpops.
Brett was not invited.
No, yeah, we killed Brett, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't want to share revenue or anything with him.
Fuck that.
Just a fucking engineer. I'm doing it now. And
as you almost drop your iPad.
Yeah, how bad can it be? So we recorded for an hour and a half and none of it recorded.
Yeah, Adam's already settling in. He's like kind of like half leaning in the chair.
Yeah, I just built this chair, so.
It looks good,
like,
man.
Like freaking Wolfman Jack.
I killed the fake cow to make the faux leather that's on it.
That's how it works, you kill a fake cow?
Yeah, a cow that you don't trust. Fake cow.
A phony cow.
I grew up next to a cattle farm. I understand very much what you're talking about.
Cow that's really nice to you when it's just you guys hanging out.
Yeah.
But like when you're in a group, the cow's just a piece of shit.
Exactly. Egg.
Can't stop putting you down. So anyways, we have Chet Wilde here instead of Brett.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever actually said
that's
that.
That's my favorite credit. Chet Wilde. Instead of Brett.
Chet Wilde, best known for not being Brett, is here.
It's a real standout in the field of not being Brett.
He's going to be here for 2 weeks, a residency of sorts.
Residency, I like it. Here for my Buffalo talk and advocating for Phil Collins, per usual.
Mm. We're not talking about any of that today.
I'll work it in somehow.
We're talking about some pretty upbeat stuff, though.
Yeah, movie's coming out this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of, let's get to the first one. The Birth of a Nation, guys.
Yeah.
This,
It's a
if I'm not mistaken.
It's a feel-good Gary Marshall-style film.
Yeah, it's the latest installment of the, like, Valentine's Day, New Year's Eve type movies he makes. No, this is a, as I found out, not
a second date movie.
Definitely not a note-for-note remake of The First Birth of the Nation.
No, no. First Birth of the Nation, of course, is the super infamous, just like KKK...
Which also has the unfortunate distinction of being a very well done movie. Like, it for the time, obviously.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit that they still like teach us. No, this is like technically a really good film. Like, no, you can find other films that do the same thing that Birth of a Nation does. We don't need to keep making film students watch this thing. Just watch Citizen Kane instead. But anyway, so The Birth of a Nation, the one coming out this week, is about the Nat Turner Rebellion and deliberate choice to have it have the same title as that racist pile of cinema from Hollywood yesteryear.
What if racists sued? What if some master racist just came out and was like, hey, by the way, I own the rights to Birth of a Nation, and no.
I don't know if that, because there are a lot of movies that have like the same title but aren't related to each other.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a thing that could happen, but it would just be funny if it did.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
I'd be into that.
So anyways, Nat Turner Rebellion, obviously, once it begins, our brothers and sisters will join. Is a very divisive piece of history because, of course, on one hand, you've got, well, it's a slave rebellion. Of course, it tends to be the thing that we're on the side of because it's like, fucking whole group of oppressed people are like, I don't feel like being owned and abused.
That's bound to happen when you just own a group of people.
So rise up and kill a bunch of people. But, of course, in the rebellion, I mean, they just killed everyone. Like, you know, anyone that happened upon, women and children and stuff. But, you know, that's what happens when...
Yeah, there's collateral damage in a war.
Yeah,
I definitely wouldn't cite the women and children who died in the Nat Turner slave rebellion as proof that it shouldn't have happened.
Exactly, no. And indeed, I don't think any it's actual like, student of history would, but...
It's like the literal definition of the ends justifying the means.
Sure,
kind of.
Yeah.
It's like a justified war, like, which is so rare. This is a throwback to a simpler time when people went to war for things we should go to war over.
Right, for reasons that are unassailable. I'd kill somebody over that.
Yeah, this was...
I'd stab a baby to death for that.
Do you get to do that in war?
Yeah, sure. Don't...
Even that kind of war.
Yeah, I suppose. And in the Snowpiercer wars of the future.
Sure.
Where we're all living on trains and babies taste the best. Has everyone seen Snowpiercer?
Of course, yeah.
That's my favorite line. I know babies taste the best. Do they? It's amazing.
That was...
I mean, because they also the best of all
because they're also going to fight the least.
Yeah.
So
they haven't.
That's
yeah,
what
exactly.
Makes it so delicious.
Yeah,
the lack of resistance
and no muscle. You're right. It's just like veal. Infants are just.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to crack open an adult skull? That's a lot of effort.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Baby skull's nice and soft.
You just do it with your thumbs.
We really veered off from
we
Birth
did.
Of a Nation,
so for Birth of a Nation, it seems like it's going to be.
It seems like a great movie.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a great movie. It's one of those things that's. I'm conflicted about going to see it because of the stuff about Nate Parker, the writer, director, and star. He and his writing partner were accused of raping a woman while they were both in college together. And Nate Parker was acquitted, but his partner was convicted, but then the conviction was overturned, right? And then the woman went and killed herself later. She's so psychologically and emotionally devastated by the event.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of those things where... I mean, he was acquitted, and
he hasn't been. I mean, yeah, he's a. It's hard because you want it. Well, he was acquitted, so it's like okay, but he's been kind of like not the greatest of talking about it.
Yeah, he has. Like,
are they denying that anything ever happened, or they're just saying it happened, but it was consensual?
I think that was the argument.
I think the argument
his case.
Was that it was consensual.
Yeah,
because I think the two had a consensual.
They had like a relationship beforehand or something, makes it not count for some reason.
But, you know,
but
sometimes people that have a really fucked up past or really fucked up alleged past, like, you know, Woody Allen or Roman Polanski or whoever, they create this great work. Do you think it's possible on some level that to feel less guilty, they're like, I have to make this great work that will affect people for the better and send a positive message to make up for my past sins?
Maybe not
justifying that.
Maybe.
I'm just trying to understand on a psychological level why we'd push so hard to create something that would you know, bring so much attention to yourself if you have this.
I don't think that's the case for Woody Allen. I don't think he's made a movie.
Yeah.
that's like that. But that seems to, I mean, because this seems like, Birth of a Nation seems like an important film.
Right.
Obviously, we only ever get movies about slavery in the United States when it's centered around white people.
Right, right. Like the Free State of Jones.
Right, like Free State of Jones,
the white
Glory.
Person's the hero.
The Patriot.
Yeah.
Even Amistad. Like, this is like the closest thing I can think of to this film is Amistad, because it's about another slave revolt, but it's Amistad centered around all the white characters involved in that.
Right. I never saw 12 Years a Slave, though.
I think I didn't either, but I think it's just him. It's like it centers around his life.
Well, then that, yeah. Then that's good. Yeah, I mean, this seems like a great movie. Like, it's definitely.
But 12 Years a Slave was directed by a black man.
Right.
And
right,
so
right,
it's
right.
this. And I think these are the only two. Unless I'm mistaken, because like Glory was Edward Zwick, who is not black.
No.
Amistad was Spielberg. Free State of Jones, I don't know who did that.
Spielberg's not black?
Mm-mm.
He's common black where it counts.
Guys.
Common misconception.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Birth of a Nation.
Yeah, I'm going to see it.
I'm going to see it.
I may feel bad about contributing to the career of someone who is probably a rapist, but...
Yeah, it's almost the same as the collateral damage in the Nat Turner thing. It's like, do you support this movie in spite of...
That's true.
Because it's a story that deserves support.
Yeah, it's
regardless
honestly...
Regardless of who's making it.
I'm kind of amazed there hasn't been like a high-profile Nat Turner movie.
Yeah, yeah, because it's an... Like it's a great, it's gonna make for a great action movie.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
I just moved over
watching
to
all those women and children get shot. Listen,
people are gonna get fucked up in this movie, and it's gonna be great.
Yeah. I just moved over to Lamert Park, which is the third most densely populated black neighborhood in Los Angeles, and I'm going to walk over to the Crenshaw Mall and attempt to see this. And based on the looks I get as I walk into the theater, I will decide whether or not I shall stay.
My brother and
oh,
I
you
saw,
should go.
My brother and I saw Rosewood. In a theater in like the predominantly black part of town in Norfolk, Virginia. And we were the only two white people in the theater. So, and it wasn't that great of a movie.
Yeah.
Because it was more about, again, it was more about like John Voight.
Yeah.
And not about like Ving Rhames or any of the other like actual black characters involved. They always find a way to make it about some white dude.
Thanks, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
John Voight's trending, but it'll be irrelevant by the time this comes out.
Why is he trending?
He said something about Trump, and if black people were better the system makes it so black people aren't educated enough to vote for Trump, but if they're well educated, if they're well informed, that a lot more black people would vote for Trump.
That's not the message.
It's like, just the kind of thing I'd expect
like,
Anaconda's
I'll
John Boyd to
crazier
say
crazier than my daughter. Like, it's just a
I'm constantly shocked that Angelina Jolie's dad is still alive, because she just seems like someone who would have dead parents,
right,
of her own choice. Like,
yeah, maybe she killed him.
And
I'd kill
like
John Voight.
Really,
if he was my dad.
Really creepy painted cameos of them hanging in her house. Mm. Like, that's the kind of.
That's why she's the sexiest woman in the world. Oh, that possible murder. Let's talk about another bummer of a show. This
the 13th.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a couple documentaries here back to back. The first one is the 13th,
which is
about the 13th Amendment, which. Abolish slavery. That's good. But, and this is a thing I didn't know. There's a clause in it, or like a. In the world are locked up here in the land of the free. There's basically an exception in the 13th Amendment that abolishes slavery. That says if you broke the law, you can basically still be a slave.
It has to be while you're incarcerated, right?
Right, right.
That's why they can make prisoners do work without paying them.
Right, right.
That's why Whole Foods is only expensive and not really, really expensive.
Right, because prison labor keeps things cheap.
Yeah.
But it is, they bring up in this trailer, I'm assuming it comes up in the documentary also, that there are actually more black people incarcerated in our prison system right now than there were slaves in the 1850s.
Yeah, I'd seen that point being made recently. Maybe it's because of this documentary. I don't know.
And that's a big problem when you consider private prisons are a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
with a very profitable thing.
They're a profitable thing that...
people are profiting.
They're a profitable thing that require people to be in prison to remain profitable.
There's the privatization of any social kind of government thing, like mental health institutions and prisons and any kind, like privatization is always a bad idea.
Yes, always.
Because we're privatizing like something that's supposed to be rehabilitating and caring for people with mental illness, rehabilitating criminals. But when you're privatizing an industry, I don't even want to call it an industry, but it is an industry now. But when you're privatizing a thing that's meant to correct a problem, that's immediately bad because you can only make money by allowing the problem to continue.
Right.
So you can keep treating it.
Yeah. And that's a huge problem with the prison industry. It's a very clearly corrupt institution that what do we do? But like, how do we stop it now is what I sometimes wonder. I mean, we obviously have to. I'm not saying, hey, let private prisons keep going because it's too late now. But this is a big problem to unravel.
Yeah, maybe they'll do this. I hope they do it in this documentary because I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah, it premieres on Netflix, I think, October 7th. I can't wait to see it.
It looks good.
Like it's going to be fantastic.
Another example of a Netflix show that kind of just comes out of nowhere. Yeah. I never hear about it. And they're just like, hey, we got this thing. Watch it.
Yeah, and when I was writing all those Trump columns, as if I've stopped.
Yeah.
But in my first one, I brought up immigration and how I feel like he's going to deport immigrants and try to move black people, inner city, like people who've been in inner city
areas.
He wants to use,
what do they call them? The cities, sanctuary cities. He wants to use them for inner city and low income people.
Right. And
American citizens.
When I brought that point up, because we're all a bunch of ignorant Americans, everyone was like, oh, so he's just going to put black people back in the fields. Yes, but not exactly. One problem is that's us thinking every illegal immigrant is working in a cornfield, which no. Like, if you look at the breakdown of what illegal immigration brings to this economy, they're in all facets of the workforce. But it won't be black people in the fields. It'll be prisoners. Like, that's a thing we do now.
Yeah.
Is fill jobs that illegal immigrants traditionally take with prison labor. And I could just see that being a thing Trump would expand under his regime.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a small... excuse me. I grew up in a small one traffic light town that had two prisons. Not one, but two correctional facilities. And anytime there was... Like we live in a valley, there's a big creek, and about every 5 years or so, there'd be a major flood and destroy the town. People, like, literally people would die and stuff. But they would, instead of bringing in the National Guard, they would just bring in whatever non-rapist prisoners down to the town and start cleaning shit up.
Rebuild our village!
That's kind of how it worked, though.
That's insane.
It was even more fucked up because it used to be one prison and one mental health facility, and the mental health facility was shut down. Due to cuts in funding, and they turned that facility into a second prison, but then just put all the crazies out on the street.
Reagan.
That's Reagan. Deinstitutionalization.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Reagan.
And that's why I do comedy.
Yeah, Reagan really, really fucked us over on that.
What else is coming out this week?
Let's talk about another documentary that I absolutely have to see. It's called The Red Pill.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, a white male voice is heard.
Yeah.
What's so weird about this, though?
Never before has there been a gathering of this magnitude.
This is my favorite part.
To support.
There's like eight people.
And boys' issues.
Men's and boys' issues.
They cut to the crowd after he says that, and there's like 23 people there.
It's mostly press.
Yeah.
Advocating for the right.
But The Red Pill is a documentary by a feminist filmmaker named Cassie J, who set out to do this expose on the men's rights movement. And I guess this documentary kind of takes a sympathetic tone toward that movement.
Which wasn't her initial intent.
Right, yeah, right.
Her making this documentary totally fucked with her head.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Just a quick side note, what that guy just said there, he said, or do you want to go back and play it real quick?
No, I can pause it.
That guy said, I can't tell, where is it? He goes, it's a misunderstanding that people think we want women back in the kitchen making sandwiches, barefoot and pregnant. What point in time did I miss out as a white male that we wanted women to be barefoot?
Yeah, that's always a weird thing they throw in there is
was
barefoot.
There a time
so
that
she
I was
can't
like,
run away from your sexual assaults, Chet.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You put glass around the outside of the house.
You hobble her like Kathy Bates in Misery.
Right, right.
I understood all the other, you know, sandwiches and babies and stuff, but just...
So that's what we paused that for? Okay. Let's a toxic distillation get back to that. Yeah, but this seems really...
It's like very pro-MRA, this trailer.
Yeah, and it, like, she interviews a bunch of women who are very pro-MRA.
You're just bitter, you're a loser, you're a whiner, you're ugly, you're undesirable, you're lazy, you're scary, you must be a racist, you must be a misogynist.
Agreed.
I stopped the trailer the first time I watched it at that point, and I'm like, oh, this is just a bunch of guys that don't know how to get laid and are very angry about
that's,
it.
Yeah.
And this is but I wonder, is this a documentary about us? Like, are we going to watch this and go, oh, we're the assholes?
They're making it seem like, with, you know, they keep cutting to all these news reports talking about MRAs and the red pill subreddit and making it seem like the media is ganging up on them. But it's like, no.
Yeah.
There's like, you're... What do you
tell them? So the challenge I have with things like this, and the same with like any Facebook thread that's about politics or about race or anything, from a white male point of view, is sometimes there are things that I can identify with and agree with as a white male or just as a human being, but because it's that person that's making that point, I do not want to agree with that point because then you're automatically tied to all of their other crazy shit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like when they're talking about because it's now illegal. You know how women's rights are out there, and they're saying stop violence against women, and it should be stop all violence. Period. Like, yeah, on paper that makes sense. It should be all, but I don't want to side. I don't want to say that guy made a good point because everything else they say.
Well,
is
it's
so awful.
It's not a good point though. It's the same thing as coming in and saying the countering like Black Lives Matter by saying, well, all lives matter. It's like, well, no. The point of stop violence against women and Black Lives Matter is the fact that there is it's such a normalized part of the way society is now. It's like it's just systemic. Like, it's not only Black Lives Matter and only stop violence against women, but it's like stop violence against women too, or as well. Like, can this be a consideration? And you know, Black Lives Matter as well. It's not like. Because it's not equal.
Right.
So
at one point during the documentary, this guy says, well, we talk about stopping violence against women when we should be talking about stopping all violence. Well, you're not. You're not going to stop all violence.
No.
But it's, like you said, it's the same thing as Black Lives Matter. It's not that people are saying violence against other people is fine, but that we should stop violence against women. It's just that it happens so much more, and it's so common, and like such an ingrained part of,
and legislation makes it very difficult for women to report and prosecute cases of abuse and rape and all this other stuff. Like, they bring up a point in the trailer where he's like, well, you know, it's all the woman has to say is she's been sexually abused, or like all she has to say is she's been raped, and it's like, all it's very, I forget the exact point, but he says something to the effect of like, it's women have all the advantages, and it's like, well, no, like,
no.
I mean, it was only, they only recently made it illegal in all 50 states for you to rape your wife. Like you used to not be able to say you were raped if you were married. And that's only a very, very recent thing.
Yeah. It's like definitely not women have all the advantages.
And it's very difficult to report. And it's insanely difficult to prosecute. There's a statute of limitations. It's just the arguments they make are not invalid, because I know these guys do feel like they're getting ganged up on.
Right.
Because when people say like white privilege or male privilege, it's like, well, I haven't done anything to hurt anybody. And it's like, my life isn't great. I have problems. It's like, well, of course you have problems. Everybody has problems. When people are talking about white privilege and male privilege, it's not saying that like, the privilege is being able to be oblivious to it.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
To not have to deal with it.
Right. To not.
They can choose to be a part of it, but they don't have to.
Right. To not be. The privilege is to not be aware of how bad racism actually is, to not be aware of how bad women's rights are. Like, that's the privilege. The privilege isn't saying that you are oppressing these people. It's just you are able to exist in a world where it doesn't affect you.
Right.
That's the privilege.
My and favorite quote was when the guy said, I can't tell you how many guys I talked to that say, yeah, she stabbed me, and they put me in jail.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you know that are getting stabbed by women?
Yeah.
And sent to jail?
Yeah, perhaps.
And every time that I hear...
Perhaps it's your social circle and the
right?
people you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
I've never met anyone that's been stabbed by a woman, let alone thrown in jail.
I've also never gotten into an argument with a woman to the point where I was like, oh, I'm going to get stabbed. Like,
yeah.
What... Almost when anyone gets stabbed, I'm like, what did you do?
Yeah.
Like, why did that part? Because
why did the knives come out, bro?
Because stab, like, unless you get killed by a serial killer, if you get stabbed, it's probably just because you were being an asshole and you didn't realize the other person had a knife.
Yeah.
I mean, I once had a woman pull a knife on me, but she was a homeless person who was clearly mentally unwell on the street. And
well, that's what you get for dating her.
If she,
yeah.
Even if she stabbed me, I still wouldn't have gone to jail.
No.
Because I'm white, obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's the takeaway. I think
that's the big takeaway.
That's the privilege so this, I have, so these guys need to shut
this,
up.
This documentary is going to be like a Nietzschean staring into the abyss sort of adventure to go
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
I wonder how much like NLP's at play or something where they're just like the language they use and the points they make. Like they really, you at least from the trailer, you watch the feminist documentary maker just really completely lose sight of everything she believed in.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting watch.
It's going to be a fascinating descent.
That's for sure.
And I watched all of the Sarkeesian Effect.
What was that? I didn't see that.
It was the movie. It was the Gamergate documentary.
Oh.
It was like 2.5 hours
Jesus.
Of poorly filmed movie.
Just 2.5 hours of sexist rants?
It's basically this. It's an MRA rant about how women are destroying the safe space for males that is video games.
Yeah, that is not happening.
So yeah, I feel like this is going to be more of that already, although ironically I can already tell that it's better filmed and better edited because it's made by a woman.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say because it's made by a woman, but it's
probably a little more.
I think we have the tape. It's because it's made by a woman.
Yeah.
That is
probably because a little more balanced.
Made by a filmmaker. And not a couple of shitheads.
A woman wearing shoes, nonetheless. I don't know if you guys.
Yeah, I
don't
know. Well, yeah, she's
crazy times we live in.
Ahead of the
I don't
curve.
Like that. I don't like that. So, okay, let's talk about the next. Let's talk about some TV shows.
TV shows.
Big trend this year on TV. Movies getting turned into TV shows.
Yeah. We got Exorcist. We got Lethal Weapon. We got.
That looks awful.
Scream. But Scream is in
season
its second
two.
Good friend
season.
Damon Wayne in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah. Damon Wayans is playing Murtaugh.
The Purge.
I just read about that.
I can't wait.
I'm so fucking excited.
And it's getting
for a
prequel, which is what that movie needs, is a prequel.
The Purge TV show could be the perfect way for this series to go.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could do...
I'm so excited.
There's so many different stories you can do. With it. We've talked about this on the previous episode. There's so many different things you could do. And, like, if you just do, like, a new story, like each season, I guess, like kind of do it like an anthology. That'd be such a great show.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. But this is the show we're going to talk about today. This is one that when I first saw on paper, I thought, why are they doing this? And that's Frequency.
Frequency, the Dennis Quaid, Jim Caviezel classic.
Yeah. Which was it was a decent.
It was fine. I liked it.
Good movie.
Never saw it.
But it doesn't. It's not the type of premise that can sustain a series because it's kind of a mix between like the butterfly effect and like Field of Dreams kind of.
Yeah, but I watched this trailer.
All right, pause it real quick because I haven't seen the trailer and I want to float something by. I've seen the billboards around town. I don't know if you guys seen the billboards for Frequency. But it's like
not.
The tagline is 1996 called, 2016 answered, and it shows the two characters on two different sides of the time stream. Now, on the 1996 side is a guy, and he's standing by the New York City skyline, and the Twin Towers are clearly visible behind him.
Right.
And then it's the 2016 side is a lady, and then it's just like, I don't know which building is behind her, but she's also in front of the New York City skyline. So is the premise of this show to stop 9/11?
Oh, I hope not. I really hope not.
Because, like, that's what the poster seems to, like. If you were talking to somebody from 96 and they show the Twin Towers so conspicuously on the back of the poster, you would say to that person, listen, fucking 9/11 is coming and you got to do something about it. But like the point of frequency was he was the more Jim Caviezel in the future did to save his right. father in the past, it kept it made more different horrible things happen.
Right.
So it's like if the show is keeping in the same tone as the movie and it's about stopping 9/11, like stopping 9/11 is going to create some more horrible events.
Right. And I do want to rewind it quick just to hear if I heard this right in the beginning here.
Some things I never told you about my father. He was a bad man.
Okay. Yes. All right. See, this is a twist I like. Because she just said, my father, he was a bad man. What's exciting to me about this, for one thing, it's only a mini series. It's not like an actual series, so that's good.
Oh, that makes sense.
But what they imply in this trailer is that she keeps her dad from dying, which was kind of the plot of the first movie.
Yeah.
But they also kind of imply that he might have been a serial killer. So by keeping him alive, he just keeps killing for 20 fucking years, which that's a twist I can get behind.
That's kind of a sweet idea, yeah.
Because like now she's just got to go kill her dad in 2016.
Or like trick him into dying in 1996.
Some pretty upbeat background music if there's a lot of death in this show.
Yeah, this is not at all the show they're setting up if that's the case. Because this just looks like a stupid CW show.
Yeah, they do that for most of the trailer, and then at the end you see she says something like, well, that guy hasn't killed in 20 years, and I think he kills her mother.
Well, that's from the movie too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, remember he saves his dad's life once from the explosion, and then it's like, well, he's going to die later of cancer anyway. But then like his mother is suddenly dead in the future, and it's because she was killed by a serial killer. And it's like the butterfly effect of saving his dad's life in that explosion caused his mother to get killed.
No, I get it. 1996.
There you go.
Game 3, Bernie Williams jacks a 2-run shot in the bottom of the 8th.
Let's do it. I'm good for 20 on that.
It's not a prediction.
Right, because you're Nostradamus from Queens.
Nostradamus, you piece of shit. What's yeah, he looks like a serial killer. I can get behind that. I hope that is the twist.
All the things you guys said made me think of this show idea. How about a reboot or a bring back just for a movie? Remember the show New Edition?
I remember.
Oh yeah,
where
like
New Edition.
That was the paper that would show what was going
to
happen
the next
day.
Day's news. Yeah. And you'd have to prevent the bad thing from happening. But New Edition, 9/11. If he had a day to stop it all,
Jesus.
Well, I feel like you could just go to the airport and stop it. Like, we know who
you go to the
it.
Airport and, like, do, like, a bomb threat and shut down all the flights.
Or you could just bring newspaper footage from the future and be like, hey, dig it.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
This guy.
You just tell him, I have inside information. I mean, you'd go to prison forever as a terrorist, but you would have stopped 9/11. In 20 years, I'm going to be
on the job with my daughter. Can you imagine that responsibility if you found out the day before 9/11, 9/11 was going to happen? You were the only person that knew?
Yeah.
Like, where to even begin? I'm sorry.
Dad. Yeah, it would be tough.
I'm getting way off topic, sorry.
No, it's fine. Cause
maybe he stops 9/11 in this. Maybe her mom dies in 9/11.
Maybe 9/11 becomes worse. And that plane does make it to the White House.
Yeah.
More like 9/22. Like when he was murdered, like when he wasn't. Everything has changed. Well, yeah, because you fucked with the timeline. Have you never seen a time travel movie, lady?
This. Your name is Daniel Lawrence. How do you know my name? This is weird.
How do you know my name? And I don't know you. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Well, that they're doing something different from the movie there too, because when he would change the past, his memory would adjust.
Oh.
Like he'd have a moment where he was like, "Wait, that's not right,"
and then
it would click. He's like, "Oh yeah, that did happen." Like his memory would. But she's not having that. She's like, she's like a wonderful life right now.
Mekhi Phifer plays a police chief. Is that right?
But she is wearing shoes.
Wearing shoes. She's not. Did not make any sandwiches thus far.
And what was this? Did she go, or is that her mom?
That's her mom, I think.
Went missing in 97.
Yeah.
Who is this?
My name is Raimi Sullivan.
Oh, guess who else's name is Raimi Sullivan? Ooh, coming this fall.
I'm not sure if that was her mom. I think that might have been her.
No, because her name was...
She's Raimi.
Raimi. And that was Julie. that was missing in the poster.
So it's just the same story as the movie, basically.
Yeah. But is the dad the killer?
No. No, and not in the movie.
But it seems like in the TV show.
In the TV show, he might be.
Which would be
kind of interesting.
Pretty fascinating. There's also a show coming out called Conviction.
This looks like the dumbest goddamn show.
Yeah. 57 seconds was the point in which I stopped watching this.
I
watched all of it, yeah.
4 minutes of this trailer, which inexplicably has 900,000 views. This is about Haley Atwell from Marvel's Agent Carter is the former first daughter who's just like Lindsay Lohaning her way through the news.
Right.
She's just out of control. And for some reason, she gets busted for cocaine. And the DA is like, well, I'll not send you to prison if you head up this team I'm putting together, which is going to try to overturn wrongful convictions. Like, why the fuck would you do that?
No DA would ever.
No, that is the most reckless. That's like if you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's like he's deliberately trying to, like, sabotage getting these convictions overturned. These are probably because they're his convictions that are being investigated.
Yeah, probably.
So he's like, yeah, I'll put this person with just an erratic public record and no history or legal background in charge of this team.
And she just shows up like the sassy. Like, you didn't see the paparazzi shots of me in that new beach in Belize. Yeah, that was her change in clothes in front of the entire
team.
Yeah,
she's just stripping down in the office. She ain't give a hoot.
Yeah, she shows up like the badass. Hey, I don't care. Good-looking black poster boy. He's my son. Yeah, she just called one of their cases a good-looking
black poster boy. Yep.
With the good-looking black poster mom standing right behind her.
Shit's getting too real.
It's real.
And there's a scene in this trailer where, I think it's coming up here, where she asked, here it comes. This job, fire me. No.
She has
to fire me, so he does a line. She does a line of coke on the desk.
And then he like almost like fucks her.
Yeah, instead of like firing her, he goes, like, oh God, that was hot.
Like he grabs her and then crushes their hips together, and then he's like, get back to work. I'm like, what's happening there? I'm sure they omitted some dialogue from the trailer, but shit, that's a weird escalation.
Yeah.
This show looks terrible.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty awful.
This is the dumbest.
It's on ABC, and ABC has literally not had a good show since Lost, I think. Well, Modern Family's all right.
Who cares if she does?
Does she have what in her?
Like, she's like, we're trying to see, can she be a good person? It's like, no, these are real people who are in prison, probably unjustly. And we've put this fucking lady in charge of it?
Oh, they've zoomed in on she was walking in high heels.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's really?
Also
really
wearing shoes.
Pointing out the shoes that the women are wearing.
Whole lot of shoes. Still no sandwiches.
Who's next? I'm going to call that back to death, everybody.
Yeah.
So that's
coming
Conviction.
Soon. Please
coming
don't.
Soon
Please
to ABC.
Never come.
Be sure to...
go away forever.
That looks like a terrible, terrible show.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. We should jump ahead to music because we're running up on our time limit. And there's some exciting music coming out, I guess.
But I had a great Gallagher Sledgehammer joke for Shameless, but all right, we'll skip it.
We can talk about Shameless.
I haven't seen any of Shameless.
Shameless is one of my favorite shows on TV. Shameless is fantastic. It's so good. And it's one of those rare shows that it just came back this week, I think, on Showtime. But the first episode's been streaming for a while. But it's one of those rare shows that is taken from an overseas show.
Yeah, it's a British show, right?
Yeah. And it is significantly better than the British version. Like, the cast is just so much more entertaining to watch. And it's like... at least the first season is pretty much identical to the British one, but it's just a better, like, I'd be surprised if the British version's still on the air.
I won't watch it just because it's on Showtime and I cut cable and I already have like five different services I subscribe to and it's getting to be too much.
Well, you can, all the seasons are available except the current season are on Hulu.
Hulu?
Okay. Yeah.
I can catch up then.
And, you can get Showtime through Hulu now. Or no, they're on, the seasons are on Netflix, but you can get Showtime through Hulu. But anyway, yeah, watch Shameless, you motherfuckers.
It's a really on good to show. The music.
Yeah, we have, this is a good week for music, depending on what kind of music you like. Green Day, back to not at all influence another election in any way.
I checked on that, because their last like super political album was American Idiot, And that also released a month before the election in 2004.
Right, right.
So
when did they release 21st Century Breakdown came after?
Yeah, that was
probably around the time of the Obama election.
I think it was in the Obama years.
I don't know how I feel about the music, but I think the artwork for the video is really cool.
This is just the lyric video. I actually am playing... Yeah, I'm going to stop this because I want to play the other version of the video, which is actually kind of a cool thing. I fucked up. I'm sorry, guys.
Green Day, I saw on the cover of Rolling Stone this past month, and looking haggard.
Yeah, they're looking rough.
They're getting...
They kind of look like they do in this scene, which is people wearing masks of Green Day.
Yeah. They definitely look like Halloween masks of themselves.
Right.
Which, I mean, they've been touring for, what, 25 years?
Yeah. I dated a girl for a while who looked like Billy Joe Armstrong. She was really cute. But this is kind of a cool video. It's a
Point Break.
Point Break homage. They're robbing a bank in Green Day masks. But there's a twist coming, you guys. You'll never guess what it is. But I want to hate this, but this is actually also, I think, the best song Green Day's made in a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
why
pretty
do you...
catchy and pretty simple, which is what their best stuff is. Catchy and simple.
Yeah, like, why do you want to hate it?
I don't... Just the timing, I think. I feel like they're just now always coming out when there's something political to say. Which I guess that's fine, but... I don't know. Just because I'm old and jaded and I want to hate Green Day...
Green Day is one of those bands that I'm fine with them.
Yeah.
I'm like a huge Green Day fan. I did like the last trio of albums they put out.
Yeah, I like those albums.
I like a lot of their older stuff. So, I mean, this is fine.
Yeah. I mean, they've really had an impressive career.
Yeah, like...
Like American Idiot was
a
huge comeback.
The fact that they're
still
in it and haven't broken up
right then. Guys, the bank robbers, women... What?
You could tell because they're not wearing shoes.
No, they're robbing a bank wearing Green Day masks.
So yeah, Green Day has a new album coming out.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty solid.
Trump's definitely going to lose. Is this? Yeah, they were just one of the many things that had me convinced Bush would lose the 2004 election.
Oh yeah, we all were.
And nope. He didn't even lose the first debate. Yeah, but this is kind of a cool song.
Yeah.
I'll check it out. I'll check out the album. I didn't like 21st Century Breakdown. But
no, I didn't like that one.
I liked the last three, Uno, Dos, Tres.
Which one?
Weren't they called Uno, Dos, Tres? Last three albums?
Yeah, yeah, Uno, Dos, Tres. Yeah, yeah, that's right. This is really fucking loud in my headphones.
Oh, you can turn the headphones down.
I can, but I can't hear you guys then.
I've just been taking my headphones off.
This is becoming a running theme. People not telling me the headphones are too loud.
Are too damn loud.
Because I think mine are way down. This happened on the... I say it's a running theme because it's something that happened like on a podcast that's airing 4 days
like,
from
it's
now.
It's so loud in the headphones that I have my headphones off and I can hear the music from the extra set of headphones that are just laying on the table.
Yeah, it's pretty goddamn loud.
Okay. Well.
Are we recording? That's the important part.
We are recording.
We are.
But how's everyone's headphones doing?
Yeah, it's fine.
Because it's time to rock to some One Republic.
Adam, you're super against this.
One Republic?
Yeah.
I am, because they're like... I mean, they're fine. They're like the American Coldplay to me.
Yeah, like, I don't hate this song. It's just like...
I don't hate this song.
It's just sort of...
I don't hate
fine.
Any Coldplay song. And I don't hate any One Republic song. I just hate them. Like, it's like... This is like the Starbucks of music to me.
Very,
like,
that's true, yeah.
Like, yes, it's fine and it's out there if you want it, but there's also better coffee in the world.
I mean, like I said before we were recording, why listen to this when there are 5 Fastball albums that nobody knows about that are perfectly good?
Yeah, can we talk about Fastball for a second? Really on a Fastball.
I really am.
How are everyone's headphones, by the way? Is it?
It's fine. Yeah, okay, yeah.
I've been listening to Fastball music for the last 3 weeks. I didn't know about all of their albums, and now they have great albums that no one listens to.
Do you remember a show on VH1 called Bands on the Run?
No.
It was only on for one season, and it was fantastic. It was like a reality show where these bands had to tour the country, but they were like competing. And they had to like sell the most merchandise and do all these things in each city. And at one point, they were all opening for Fastball. And they cut to this scene where one of the bands is like walking out of the venue to like go smoke. And one of them just goes, "That band sucks so much." And they were talking about Fastball. It's so shitty.
Well, that guy didn't listen to their four future albums they made after that.
No, that's true.
I told you, The Way is their worst song.
That's controversial. Because The Way is a good song.
I know. And it's still their worst song. That's how I feel about
it. It's not even the worst song on that album.
That album has some good stuff on it.
Yeah, there's no way The Way is the worst song on that album.
I'm just saying, do yourself a favor. Can we all agree on this? If it's between the new One Republic album or picking any Fastball album at random, your time would be better spent getting to know Fastball.
I guess.
I'm willing to throw those dice.
All right.
Because I know what this is.
That's all I wanted.
That's a bold way to live your life, Chet Wild.
Just trying to bring the hidden good music to the masses. One podcast at a time.
Okay.
Thank you for indulging me in the Fastball talk, by the way.
You got it. Anytime. So that's One Republic. We're running low on time.
What else we got coming out?
There are two more albums I want to talk about. One from Sum 41.
Which on the Unpops podcast last month, I mentioned they were like, they did rap. Remember, and you guys are like, they're all dead. But now they're back.
This is one of my least favorite things when rock bands are like, pop music.
Pop music be destroyed.
They
shit
on pop music and say rock music is where it's at. But
rock is pop.
They play what, in my opinion, is a very much pop song.
This is pop rock. And this is all. Sum 41 has only ever been pop punk and pop rock.
The song starts with all that punk rock piano you've come to know and love.
It's like, this sounds like a Linkin Park song.
I would rather listen to Pop Rocks in My Mouth than this pop rock.
Oh, sick.
Sick burn.
That was really...
Nailed him.
Yeah, so, like, apparently...
Like, this sounds like something that would play in the background of NBC's Olympics coverage.
No, this sounds like a song from the Tony Hawk soundtrack. Like, this just sounds like...
Kudos to the video editor to make it look like there's audiences for this band. That's impressive.
But, like... Okay, so this guy, Derek Whibley, or whatever his name is, I think that's right...
Avril Lavigne's ex.
Right, Avril Lavigne's ex-husband, both Canadian. He just got out of, like, rehab. Like,
he was
super serious alcoholic.
Dead.
Yeah, like, he was, like, dying. He was drinking himself to death. And this is, like, his big sober album. And, I mean, it just sounds like everything else they
made. Yeah, it's a Sum 41 pop song.
Sure. I really get bothered by that. Anytime anyone with videos on MTV says that it's like right to crush the pop stars or like anti-pop, it's like, no, you are a cog in this.
You're
same
on
machine.
MTV.
Yeah.
You're,
like, what are you talking about?
You are not part of the solution.
Like, this is a pop song.
Yeah, it's very much a pop song. And you know, at least one of these performances is being filmed at like the iHeart Radio Festival or something. It's like, don't.
Oh, there's a lot of state fairs in this.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me most about it is they have four different linked plugs over the entire video on YouTube. Not one, not two, not three, but four. Subscribe to Hokeless.
There's
new
also
album.
They
blah, blah, blah.
Keep coming back to footage of them riding scooters through a parking lot.
Scooters are pretty rock.
Like Razor scooters.
Yeah, that's pretty.
They're real hardcore, man. Real edgy anti-pop. It's playing your fucking stadium confetti shows. I mean, I'm glad he's sober. I'm glad, like, he's not dead.
I'm not.
I feel like I'd have to be pretty drunk to enjoy this album.
But this is garbage.
Yeah. All right, let's end. Let's end talking about something that I think we'll all agree is definitely not garbage.
Fastball album?
Garbage?
The new Pitbull album called Climate Change.
That's a lot of views. close to 14 mil.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Yeah, this is something I'm only just now aware of. It's like Pitbull is like huge worldwide.
Yeah, it's got 14 million views in 6 weeks, guys.
I'll be honest. I've never noticed how women wear so many different shoes until we had that talk.
Until today. Until just, that stupid MRA.
But in all seriousness, it's constantly zooming in on women's feet in the shoes they're wearing.
It's Mr. Worldwide, guys, featuring Flo Rida. And some dude named Lunch Money. Who I think is just in this video because he had an auto-tune machine.
Fun fact, that's actually his natural voice. You didn't know that.
I'm
concerned
to this.
For Lunch Money Lewis's health.
Why? Because his name's Lunch Money Lewis?
Well, yeah. Did you see him?
Yeah.
It's the big guy, right?
I'm assuming so, because that's not Flo Rida.
Yeah, this is a pretty fantastic fit. What I like, Pitbull, this motherfucker loves life. And you can never, you can't fault him for that. He's drag racing Flo Rida through the streets of Miami, which good thing there's no cars in Miami because that would be very dangerous otherwise. There's a few different points where he like drives past a group of women and the velocity from his car blows their dresses up. So it's like he's committing minor sexual assaults with his car.
Well, that's why you buy a car that fast.
Right, right. Step on the gas. I don't get the reference.
But even if your car does that, you're going so fast, you don't even get to see what you blew up, you know?
Dolly! He also keeps his racing gloves on for the entirety of
the
video.
He does. I thought there was... I didn't realize he was wearing a glove for a half a second. So what the fuck is going on with Pitbull's hands?
Why are his hands brown?
Because he's not wearing any other part of a racing outfit in the very first shot. He's just wearing like a suit. And then he's just wearing these goddamn gloves.
I wonder how many cuts there are if you counted the cuts in this. Like, it's never... Okay, that was maybe 2 seconds. It's just constantly...
I forget where I read this, but like in like a 3 or 4 minute music video from like, you know, 90s, 2000s today, there are more cuts than there are like a full-length movies from like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Because it's cut.
Because there's a cut every second. Literally cut. Every second.
Cut, he's also cut, got another cut, single from this cut. Album called Sexy Beaches.
I see what he did there.
Yeah.
Mildly racist.
Beaches, but with the word beach.
I would play you for it, but it will absolutely be in an airline commercial this winter, I'm sure.
Oh, the fat guy is in a robe now because he's fat and can't wear regular
people. There's not
clothes.
A lot of options for Lunch Money Lewis as far as clothing goes.
It's an officially licensed Lunch Money Lewis robe.
Pitbull was making an insane face right there.
A lot of ass in this video, if you can believe that.
It's like they're wearing boots above their knees, but then their shorts don't cover their asses, so it doesn't seem very effective.
Yeah, I don't like that.
They should wear shorts that meet their boots, you know.
Everybody take a shot. Go. Are we getting robbed by Pitbull right now?
How come there's no love for yellow light? Respect all of the lights.
We're skipping right over yellow light.
There's no yielding in this video.
Which is reckless.
Very reckless. All right. I think we have reached the end of this episode.
Yeah, so we got, there's a lot of...
Not that I'm going to turn Pitbull down for one goddamn second.
A lot of like heavy stuff coming out this week as far as the movie side of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like we ended on a moderately more upbeat note.
Yeah,
we started with a predominantly black community being oppressed, and we ended with a predominantly black community being on top and bringing joy and happiness.
He's Cuban.
And Pitbull.
But all the other people in the video are, I said predominant.
No.
There's a lot of black people in this video.
Well, a lot of Cuban women. And Flo Rida and Lunch
not white
Lunch
people.
Money Lewis.
Let's just replace that with not white people.
That's true. So, all right.
But Pitbull's suit was dazzlingly white.
Yeah.
So, Pitbull's, I mean, I feel represented.
And his teeth are always on point.
Yeah.
Always also.
Except for that weird, like, gremlin face he made. I don't know what he was doing there.
And Pitbull, fun fact, many people don't know this, actually has Fastball on his Spotify.
Man, people let's just, me and you should just do a Fastball.
Did a
podcast.
Deep dive into the Fastball Pitbull research before you got here.
I'm hard to some really bad bits today. Not apologizing for it.
Fastball all day.
Shoes and women and shoes and fastball.
No, it's fine. It carried us through an episode.
Yeah.
So it's good.
It played. It's fine.
Yeah.
Do we have anything to plug before we get out of here?
Shows. This week, right?
Yeah, this is airing Thursday. So tonight we will be in
Chicago. Yeah.
At North Bar. Tomorrow night, Friday night, Iowa City at Iowa City Yacht Club. Saturday night, we're in Omaha at the Backline. Sunday, we're in Kansas City at Tapcade. And Monday, we're in Denver at Voodoo Comedy.
Sweet.
Come see us. And we're doing a free preview thing this week where all of these episodes are in their entirety available for free.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to sign up if you want to hear the rest, you motherfuckers.
Sign up.
Chet Wild, do you have anything to plug?
Just follow me on the social medias at Chet Wild.
At Chet Wild.
And I'll plug things there.
Fine.
And favorite your tweets and like your Instagram.
Okay.
Photos
okay. Take it easy.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you, Jeff May.
Tom, do you have anything else to plug?
Just our shows.
Yeah. Come to our shows, please. And subscribe to the.
Yes. Absolutely.
ConnectPal.com/unpopular opinion. And you can hear this show every week. All 57 minutes and 16, 17, 18 seconds of it. All right. Let's get out of here. Chet Wild, say goodbye.
So long.
You motherfucker. Tom.
Farewell.
Tom, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.